I want to share a couple of thoughts with you from God's Word. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. If you're going to turn to our Bibles, you'll see it there. Our brother Kurt's going to have it up here so you can feel free to follow along there. The power of the blood of Christ. As you've seen, we're already singing about the blood of Christ. And what is the power and the redeeming power that we find in that? The life is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11, he says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And so in the book of Leviticus, we see that God begins to sanctify the importance of the blood, even so much that he directed the Israelites not to eat the animals with the blood still in it. And he did so that they would recognize the value that is the blood represents the life of that animal. And so in the process of sacrifices that would be given, they would kill the innocent animal. The blood would be shed, and so therefore signifying and recognizing that because of our sin, innocence is killed. Innocent blood is shed. And so it was requiring upon to bring forgiveness of sin or to cover our sin that it would require a life. How humbling that is. Would you agree? How humbling it is. Can you imagine as we see we even go all the way back into the garden that Adam and Eve, as they walked in the garden, they had no sin. There was no difficulty. They seen creation as perfection. There was no pulling of weeds. All that they were to do was to tend the garden and collect the fruits and the joy of the garden. They were able to walk with God on a regular basis. And then as they had sinned and disobeyed God, for the very first time we find out, they come out covered in fig leaves, thinking that they were going to be able to cover their unrighteousness and their sin. But in reality, they could not cover because God knew exactly what was going on. And the next thing that we see in the scripture verses, it's very quickly mentioned and very little is said, but yet God had taken animal skins and made clothing for them. So for the first time, an animal had to die because of their sin. How do you think that first experience of death fell upon their ears when they realized that this animal died because of us? And so when we find that the life is in the blood, we also tie this into the Lord Jesus, that when he went to the cross, he gave his life's blood. You know, as we went through the study of who Jesus is, who he is, we find that he was fully God, but yet he was fully man. When he went to that cross, he felt every pain, he felt every suffering, but yet he shed his blood as it was all that he had. He gave his life. He didn't just give a similitude of his life. He didn't give us lip service. He just didn't give his support in theory, but yet he went to the cross, died upon the cross, drained him of all of his life's blood, and he suffered and died for you and me. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't make any shortcuts? He didn't make any exceptions. I wonder if his suffering would have been less if he just died for Israel and not for us. Would it have been possible that he just suffered a little bit and just said, "Well, some of you can be saved, but some will not be"? Praise the Lord that he didn't do those things. But he gave his love. He gave his love unconditionally. But more than that, he gave his love and his life fully. And you know what, folks? He calls us to do the very same thing, doesn't he? Calls us to give our lives to him fully, not in part, not just in theory, but he calls us to give all of our life to him. He shed his blood so that we would not have to, but we could serve him willingly and lovingly. Number two, the value of his blood. You know, folks, this should settle in your heart and mind, and you should never have a problem with self-esteem ever again. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves as to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now, obviously, much of this is focused on the pastors and their handling of the Lord's church, but do you see that the value is placed upon the Lord's church and that the Lord Jesus shed his blood that he might purchase us? Do you realize that no one's going to beat or have a greater price than what Jesus has offered? No one can offer any more. There's no price that could be paid higher than what has already been paid. But here's something that's interesting too, is that Jesus paid more for us than our present value. Need to hear that again? Jesus paid more for us than our present value. Think of that. He paid full price for us when we weren't really worth full price. The most beautiful picture that we have of this in Scripture is Hosea. Hosea went and took Gomer to be a wife. Now, this story is not a plan for marital advice, but what it was is showing God's love for Israel, because Gomer, she was disobedient. She was an adulteress, and she went to her lovers back and forth, and Hosea loved her anyway, watched out for her, provided when he could. And finally, when she was a woman that was used up and wore out and nobody wanted her, they were going to sell her as a slave. And that day, they were showing up at the sale, and Hosea slipped in, and they began to bid, and nobody wanted her. But Hosea, he didn't take the short price. He gave full price for her when no one else wanted her. Why? Because Hosea loved her. And again, this was not marital instruction of who to marry and how, but this was instruction that God loved Israel, and they were in a loving relationship, and he was going to keep his covenant with her, the same covenant of love that he extends to believers today. He loves us. He loves us more than you value your own self. He loves you more. And folks, so often when we fail or we make mistakes, we begin to beat ourselves up when, number one, we should be heartbroken over our sin. We should be willing to repent of our sin. But once we have found and received the Lord's forgiveness, we move on and grow in His love and not in regret. Amen? His price was perfect. His price was full. He satisfied all of God's judgment upon sin. He satisfied everything that was necessary to fulfill the law and satisfy God's judgment and wrath upon our sin. There is no longer no condemnation for those who are found in Christ. Why? Because he paid the full, perfect price. Number three, redemption through his blood. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Redemption comes because he paid the price. But you know, when we see this word redemption, sometimes we think of a transaction that we go and we redeem something back from the store. But in reality, a slave has been set free. We're no longer slaves to sin, but now we are slaves to Christ. And you know, when you use that terminology today, it's almost offensive, isn't it? But my friend, you can be a slave to Lord Jesus, and you will never find yourself to be more free than any other way than to be a servant of Christ. Our last one is the transforming power of the blood of Jesus. I'm going to be reading in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. It says, let me make sure I give you the right one. Yep, I did. It says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. In the book of Hebrews, he compares the old covenant with the new. Praise the Lord that we live under the new covenant, under the covenant of Christ and his love. But more than that, we have been given eternal life. Now, something that we need to recognize in this, that he was making the comparison, is that under the law, these sacrifices did bring about a purifying of the flesh. But we see that the law could not change the hearts of the people, right? It simply just held off the judgment that was to come. It didn't do away with the judgment. It simply held off. And so we see the Old Testament sacrifices, as it were, it rolled the sins of all mankind all the way up to the time of Christ. But then at the death of the Lord Jesus, he didn't roll it forward. He didn't sweep it under the rug, but he paid it once and for all, bringing salvation and transformation to our lives, changing not just the cleansing of the flesh, but changing the heart and the soul of all of those who have trusted in him. He brings life there where there was no life. The law could not do this, but yet Jesus can and did. He brought salvation to the level of heaven. He brought it to the Father, whereas the law simply provided forgiveness temporarily here on the earth, but Jesus become that mediator. As we see in the Old Testament, the high priest would have to go in and they would have to offer sacrifices for themselves. Jesus didn't offer a sacrifice for himself. He offered a sacrifice for you and me because he already was that perfect high priest. He was that perfect mediator, the mediator of this new covenant, the new covenant that would bring life, that would bring transformation, that would take our sins away once and for all. Do you see the victory that we have? Jesus did what we were not able to do. He reached the level that we could not reach. He brought our hearts to a place of peace and contentment in him and through him that we would never be able to achieve on our own. We're free from the bonds of sin and now free to live in and through him. We fight with guilt, we struggle with guilt, but the reality is only he can satisfy, remove, and satisfy God's requirements that are upon us. Only he can remove the conviction of sin once we have confessed it before him. Everything else is just appeasing, and it continues, but God can take it away.